We're waiting for the start of Digital Book World 2011, which will open with the results of a survey conducted by Forrester Research and Digital Book World on the publishing industry. And joining us right now is the man who conducted that survey. He'll give us a preview of the results. James McQuivey, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
It's nice to have you back again. We talked about a month ago about what a year it was, 2010. Your research as a vice president and principal researcher at Forrester Research gave us some insights into the adoption of e-books and e-readers. You're going to tell us about the results of a survey of industry executives and sort of taking their temperature and asking the very important question for 2011, which is, are they ready? Tell us about what you found out.
Well, first of all, we felt it was necessary to ask them if they were ready because the things that they're facing right now are so tremendous. They're facing a world in which 10 million people suddenly have an e-reader. $1 billion nearly was spent on e-books in the U.S. in the last year. And so we had to ask them, are you ready to go into 2011 where it can only go up from here, even though it's already gone up so much? So we surveyed 35 publishing executives from 27 different publishers. They publish between them at least 15,000 books, and these are significant players in this market. We asked them basically, how optimistic are you about this? And I'll tell you, 90%, just about 90%, 89 actually, tell us that they are optimistic about the digital transition. They tell us things like, oh, everyone is going to be better off. The people who read are going to be better off. In fact, 6 out of 10 of them think that people will read more because of digital than they did before. So that's great optimism. So we turned it a little bit and we said, okay, what about you? What about your company? There again, optimism. 83% said, my company has what it takes to compete in this environment. Now, that's not mathematically possible that many of them will actually be able to compete. But because we're human beings and you got to love these people, they think they've got what it takes. But interestingly, 80% said we need significant retraining as a company in order to carry this out because otherwise they're not going to make it work.
Well, you know, it's curious to wonder what they would have told you in 2010. It was just a year ago the first Digital Book World opened up, and it had to stop for a moment so that everybody could watch Steve Jobs hold up the iPad for the first time. And that's been quite a year since. Do you have any sense of whether they're playing catch-up at all and that this optimism is more just the excitement of the bandwagon rolling down the road?
I'll tell you what I think it really is. It's the fact that the people we surveyed are the people who are touching digital, and they see things taking off, and it gets them excited because they see that they can innovate here in a way that this industry hasn't innovated historically. They see that there are chances to correct historic weaknesses in the business that have built up over years because of long-time relationships with booksellers and authors even, and they want to make those changes. So I think that optimism just comes from the chance to make a fresh start, if you will, and I think that's very positive. Now, at the same time, they have to be a little terrified while they're looking at this opportunity because it is moving so quickly. This is not an industry, like most media industries, they're not industries that are used to having to change themselves quickly, to remake themselves within a year. The music business had 5-6 years in which to try to make itself into a new music business. Now, it didn't succeed. The television business had maybe 3 years in which to remake itself, and it so far has been doing a good job. The book business had a year. And so it's very tough for them. I'm impressed that they managed to summon this optimism. And what they really need to do now is go out there and execute on these plans that they're forming, but they don't know exactly what to execute on right now.
Well, when they come to you, James, and want, you know, some advice, some direction and all of that, what are the things you tell them? And particularly to the point about retraining, what are things that companies can do now to make a difference for the next 12 months?
What the one thing that's clear right now is that it's not clear what this industry is going to look like in the future, even a year from now. And so what I'm encouraging my clients is to leverage the intelligence of the people inside their organization, because many of them have been thinking about this for some time now. I've actually recently interviewed people within publishers who've been working on digital for 15 years. 12 years, 10 years, and these people have some great thoughts, but those thoughts have never escalated to the C-level before because the C-level wasn't interested. Now suddenly they're interested, but there's a question of who has the ideas needed to move the company forward. So many of the companies I'm working with, I'm simply guiding them through the process of listening to their own people, establishing a process for hearing their ideas and vetting them. Not all of them will be good. Most of them will probably fail, but you need to learn to fail fast in this kind of innovation cycle. cycle. I think most publishers now understand that. And so they're working on making sure they surface all the ideas they can to the top and take advantage of those ideas, execute them, see which ones fail, move those to the side, move forward with the ones that succeed. And that could mean new formats. It could mean supporting different types of devices. It could mean bleeding into different media, video media, news media even, which a book on current events would historically have just represented a point in time of that author's analysis. Well, now we can have a more ongoing relationship with the reading consumer. And in fact, that relationship word is critical to how you make this work. Because if you don't have a relationship, you're not listening to the consumer. And I don't mean listening as in literally saying, hey guys, do you like our book? I mean listening in terms of finding the data about how they bought it, what marketing campaigns they responded to, how they shared it with their friends. That data is available now. So there's a new level of relationship that you can use to get feedback on whether your efforts are successful. And all that has to happen in such a short time span.
Right. And what's changed is that relationship. The traditional book business didn't deal directly with the reader. It dealt with booksellers. That business is dissolving. And so now that communication has to go directly to the reader, to the consumer. That means they have to rethink everything they do.
Ask a publisher, as I have, whether they think they're prepared for direct-to-consumer communication and marketing and relationships. Many of them will say, oh, we've been doing that for a long time. We've advertised in the New York Times. That's true, yes, but it's wrong, on the other hand, because advertising in the New York Times is not speaking directly to your consumer. It's not listening to your consumer, certainly. And that's the new challenge that they have to face, is that they're not B2B anymore. They're B2B2C at the very least, and some of them are more and more B2C directly. And that's critical, because consumers are difficult. They're hard to pin down. Ask Procter & Gamble. They know this. They've been doing this for decades, that consumers can be in love with Tide one day and then move to a competing brand the next day, for reasons that you can't fathom. And that's the problem, is that we don't have that ability in this industry yet to listen to consumers, figure out why they moved from one thriller author to another, why they rejected this celebrity tell-all from this member of an 80s band, but loved the one from that member of an 80s band. Why? That's the kind of thing that we're going to have to start doing on a regular basis. We're going to have to take the staff, perhaps, that was spending their time making point-of-sale displays for Barnes & Noble and Borders. That staff might have to now start thinking about hitting Twitter and Facebook and moderating discussions and listening and summarizing what they're learning. Totally new skill set, totally exciting for them, but it's a big transition.
Right, and we're chatting with James McQuivey, Principal Analyst and Vice President for Forrester Research, about a survey he has conducted for Digital Book World and Forrester on the publishing industry, talking to a number of publishing executives. And we're in the media room here waiting for the start and for your address. And I guess the question I want to end all of this with is, since when did publishing become a technology business?
I think that's the lament of every media business over the last 5 years. They are all now technology first. And I hate to say it, content is second, not because content's not what you're selling here. It is. But content can't be sold if it's not built on the right technology. And if you think about it, the book business, back to Gutenberg, was about technology. Because without the ability to produce these books en masse and distribute them, there really was no business here. You couldn't hand copy a bunch of books and make a viable economic model out of this. So, you know, the book is a technology. We've just forgotten that because we've gotten so used to it. Now we have new technologies. You know, in our survey, we asked our executives whether they thought the technologies were ready now for an ebook revolution. There's still a big fight over whether or not the tablet computer, like the iPad, is going to be the right format, or whether it's going to be the e-ink-based e-reader, which is lighter and has better battery life. They're split. 46% are telling us, no, it absolutely is going to be the tablet. Another fourth are telling us it's going to be the e-reader in the long run, and there's a whole fourth who can't even weigh in because they don't know yet. So there's a lot of decisions yet to be made about the technology, and once those decisions become clear, then the content implications become clear. Do we need audio? Do we need video? Do we need interactive gaming as part of the next Dan Brown novel? The answer is yes. It's just a question on which platform, and so technology is suddenly central to all the decisions you're making.
Well, the points you make about technology being at the heart of the business, Gutenberg's technology was the one that revolutionized things, and unfortunately people forget he died a bankrupt man.
Oh, wow. You got me with that one. Absolutely. And in fact, there's no guarantee that any of the companies currently making money in publishing will still be making money in publishing 20 years from now. We've seen this in the music business. The major labels who owned the world and drove around in the most expensive cars are now suddenly getting Kia Sedonas because they can't afford to do what they used to do. Now, they're still alive, but at greatly diminished power. I don't think that has to happen to the book publishing industry. They've responded quickly enough. They haven't put their head in the sand like the music industry did. But sometimes dynamic innovation is hard to do even with the most willing heart. And that's what we have to watch over 2011. Can this industry take that willing and optimistic heart that I told you about and put it into practice and make this business a new business overnight?
James McCrivy, thank you very much for this special preview of the Publishing Executive Survey you're going to be telling us all about in just a few minutes here at Digital Book World 2011. Nice to see you and wish you all the best.
Thanks for having me back, Chris.
And this is Chris Keneally for everyone at Copyright Clearance Center. Thanks for listening.